Thank you. Good morning. Okay, I'm a little bit nervous, but it's not about me, so it's about Jesus. Okay, so let's just dive in. The title of the message today is The Power of Waiting. I'm going to just open the talk with a short illustration about eagles. So eagles were created with large wings, and constant flapping would quickly exhaust them. So instead of relying on their own strength, young eagles learn from an early age to soar on rising wind thermals. They patiently wait on a cliff or a tree, sometimes even for like 3 days, until the right current comes. Once it does, they spread their wings and allow the wind to lift them effortlessly to great heights. In doing so, they conserve their strength for hunting, migrating, surviving, and traveling. So let me ask you a question. How often do we live like an eagle that refuses to wait? We keep striving, we keep pushing, we keep trying harder. Eventually, we become tired, discouraged, and very weary. Yet, God never intended us to live by constant striving. Instead, He invites us to wait on Him so that His strength, not our own, becomes the power that carries us. Our passage today is found in Isaiah 40, 29, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice that God doesn't only promise strength for the life's extraordinary moments, but also for the ordinary, everyday journey. He faithfully meets us in every season. Today, I want to share 3 truths from this passage. First one is, recognize your need for God's strength. An eagle cannot create the wind. No matter how powerful it is, it cannot produce the thermal. All it can do is recognize the current, position himself, and spread its wings, and trust it to carry it. We are the same. We cannot create God's strength. We cannot manufacture peace or hope or endurance simply by trying harder. Our role is to recognize that God is the source of our strength and to depend completely on Him. In Psalm 46, 1 reminds us, God is our strength and refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. One of the hardest lessons for us to learn is that we are not self-sufficient. Our culture celebrates independence. Work harder, do more, plan smarter, produce more, be stronger, figure it out yourself. But Scripture teaches something completely different. God never intended us to carry life on our own. Many of us become exhausted because we are carrying burdens God never intended us to carry. We carry tomorrow's worries, other people's expectations. We carry yesterday's guilt and shame. We carry burdens that don't belong to us. It belongs at the feet of Jesus. Eventually, our own strength runs out. Isaiah says, "Even youth shall faint and be weary." Which means even the strongest people grow tired. Even the most gifted become exhausted. Even the more talented ones, even the more full of passion. Even those who enjoy long holidays eventually return to life's demands. But God's strength never reaches its limit. His grace sustains what our own determination and effort cannot. Recognizing our weakness is not spiritual failure. It is the beginning of faith. When we stop pretending to be strong, we make room for God's strength to be displayed in us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Every miracle in Scripture began with someone recognizing their need for God. Jesus himself said, "Abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This is in John 15:4-5. This brings to our second point. Remain joined to the Lord. The Hebrew word translated for wait is kwava. It means for far more than simply waiting for time to pass. It speaks of waiting with confident expectations, trusting, hoping, and looking to God with confidence. One of its richest meanings, which I love, is to bind together like strands woven into a strong rope. It paints a picture, a beautiful picture of intertwining our lives with God's until we become closely joined to Him. Isn't that a wonderful image? God isn't simply asking us to wait for Him. He's asking us to wait with Him. The Apostle Paul echoes this truth in 1 Corinthians 6:17. "But whoever is joined to the Lord in one spirit is one spirit with Him. Just as an eagle doesn't merely find the thermal, but remains in it, we are called to remain in Christ. As long as the eagle stays in the rising current, it soars effortlessly. But the moment it leaves the thermal, he will rely on its own strength and he starts flapping and goes weary. The same is true with us. It's not enough to come to God only when life becomes difficult or we are in trouble. He invites us to live in continual fellowship with him, to remain close to him every day. We stay connected through prayer, worship, obedience, his word, through choosing to trust him in every circumstance. The God who created heaven and earth is inviting us into a living relationship with himself. Waiting then is not a wasted time. It is a relationship. So often we think of waiting as an interruption of life. But God sees it as a part of his work in us. During seasons of waiting, he cultivates patience in us. He strengthens our faith. He teaches us to trust his timing instead of insisting on our own. He shapes our hearts to become more like Christ. Many times, God is preparing us just as much as he's preparing the answer. He isn't simply giving us the strength to endure the waiting. He is developing the character needed to carry what he has prepared for us. The greatest gift we receive, the strength, the waiting, isn't the answer we have been waiting for. The greatest gift we receive while we're waiting for the answer is Him. Waiting becomes an invitation to know Him more deeply. In Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." As we wait, prayer becomes more than presenting requests to Him. It becomes conversations with our Father. Reading Scripture becomes hearing His voice. Worship becomes more than just singing songs. It becomes surrender. Waiting on God is like learning to dance. I love dancing, but I'm not good at it, so I won't demonstrate. Don't worry. But our partner leads, and we follow. Over time, our movements become beautifully synchronized. In the same way, God teaches us his rhythm. When he says rest, we rest. When he speaks to us, we listen. When he asks us something, we obey. When he asks us to trust him, we just let go. Our responsibility is simply to position ourselves in his presence through prayer, worship, obedience, and daily fellowship. And there we begin to soar. The longer we remain in him, with him, the more his character he shapes us. A beautiful exchange begins to take place. His peace replaces our anxiety. His wisdom replaces our confusion. His love drives out our fears. His perspective becomes ours. As we become more closely joined to him like this, we discover that waiting isn't passive at all. It is one of the most powerful places of transformation. And then brings to our last final point. The third one is rise in God's renewed strength. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Notice what the promise doesn't say. They who work harder, they who know more, they who are more strong or more talented. No, it says, they who wait on the Lord. Our culture teaches us that when we're exhausted, the answer is simply to try harder. God offers something entirely different. He doesn't ask us to keep striving until we reach our strength, our limit. He invites us to come to him and receive his strength. The word renew carries the idea of an exchange. God doesn't simply repair our strength. He replaces it with his own. What an incredible invitation. We surrender our weaknesses. He simply supplies his strength. We exchange anxiety for his peace, fear for faith, weariness for hope, discouragement for joy. This is the beautiful exchange that takes place when we wait on the Lord. A while ago, I experienced this truth in a very personal way. Work became so overwhelming, and every morning I just felt anxious to go to work. I constantly felt that I wasn't doing enough. It wasn't right. I worried that I was disappointing everybody. The harder I worked, the more exhausted I became. Looking back, I realized I was flapping my wings with all of my strength. I remember thinking, I just needed a long holiday. At times, I even felt like quitting. But God lovingly drew me back to Isaiah 40. Day after day, I returned to those verses. And I realized I need to spend more time with him. Get intertwined with him. Eventually, I prayed one of the very honest prayers. I said, "Lord, I cannot do this. I tried so hard. I'm so weary. The harder I try, the worse it gets. So I just need your strength and just teach me your ways." God didn't immediately change my circumstances. The workload didn't disappear. The responsibilities hadn't disappeared. But something inside me just began to change. As I spent time with him, he changed my perspective. He reminded me my worth wasn't found in pleasing everyone. My calling is simply to walk faithfully with him. Gradually, he renewed my strength. He restored my joy. He replaced my striving with his peace. Today, I can say that I enjoy my work most of the time. Not because every day is easy, but because I've learned to invite him into the daily, every day. He's still shaping me. He's still teaching me. He's still transforming my character. It doesn't simply change our circumstance, but it changes us. As we learn to depend on him, we discover that his strength is more than enough for every season of life. So let's conclude. Today, we've seen three simple truths. First, recognize your need for God's strength. Second, remain joined to the Lord. Third, allow him to change your weakness with his strength. As we wait on the Lord, he renews our strength, lifts our burdens, and enables us to live in the power of his grace, not on our own. Perhaps today you've been flapping your wings for a long time. You've been carrying burdens that God never intended you to carry, trying harder, working harder, holding everything together. And now you're tired, and a long holiday is not enough. Maybe you're anxious, maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you reached the end of your own strength. If that's you, hear God's invitation today. Stop striving. Come to him. Be honest with him. Lay your burdens at his feet. Wait on him. Trust him. Jesus extends this beautiful invitation in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. His promise isn't that every circumstance will immediately change, but his promise is that he will be with you and that his strength will carry you through every season of life. May we become people who are so closely joined to the Lord that his strength is seen in our weaknesses. His peace quiets our anxieties. His spirit lifts us above circumstances we could never overcome on our own. May we become people who have learned to wait on the Lord. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we remember that everything we've talked about today is possible because of Jesus. Okay. One more time. So it's Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. The cross is the greatest picture of this divine exchange. Jesus took our sin and gave us his forgiveness. He took our weakness and gave us his strength. He took our shame and gave us his grace. He gives us peace instead of anxiety, hope instead of despair, joy instead of discouragement. As we receive in faith the bread and the cup today, let us come with faithful and thankful hearts, not trusting in our own strength, but in his. His grace is sufficient, and his strength is enough for every season of life. As Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11:24-25, "For as I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' As we remember him and what he done on the cross, may we once again surrender our weakness and receive his all-sufficient grace. Thank you. you.